Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Welcome back, dear listener, to Christ in All Things. Pastor Jason Schachman here.
And I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
And we have part two of this wonderful conversation with Ruth Florence Esther Zender.
Polcha.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't talk about your last name.
We didn't talk about the Polcha last name.
No, I went out of the circle.
Oh.
And this boy kept coming over to our house. And my father met him one day at the door, and he told him he's not to come over anymore. But he didn't obey those rules.
Yeah?
Apparently not.
So yeah. Tell me about this boy who kept coming over.
So then he went off to war.
What's his first name?
Edward Polcha. It was very Slovak.
Oh, was he a Slovak Lutheran?
Yes, he was okay. A Slovak Lutheran.
So a Slovak Lutheran.
Yes.
And he went off to World War.
He was drafted by the.
In World War II.
Yeah, he was drafted.
Okay.
But he didn't see any real service.
What? And what?
Yes, he did.
Or did he? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, I'm forgetting.
It's okay.
Yeah. He was in the invasion.
So Edward Polcha showed up at your door regularly to see you.
Yes, he did.
And Mr. Zender, your father.
Yes.
The Lutheran school teacher.
Is not happy about the Slovak kid. Now, we're not talking about a Roman Catholic or some other, thing where we didn't used to intermarry or a Baptist or something. We're talking about a Lutheran guy, but he's Slovak. He's not German.
Not German.
He's not German. Okay.
Yeah.
And your dad's not happy about it and says, don't come back. But then Edward goes off to war.
Well, he had a sort of a hard background. His mother had died.
Okay.
His father went to drinking.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of left alone. His sister took care of him, really.
His mom died. His dad was struggling with addiction, but he's a solid guy.
He was.
And you liked him.
His sister kept him solid.
Was he a member of the Slovak parish?
Yes, he was.
What was the name of the Slovak parish?
Oh, what was it?
St. Peter and Paul.
St. Peter and Paul was a Slovak Lutheran parish. And where was that?
On Madison Avenue.
On Madison Avenue in Lakewood?
In Slovak Town.
In Slovak Town.
Yeah. Okay.
What did they call Slovak Town?
We always called it Hunky Town.
Oh, brother.
That was nasty, wasn't it?
For sure, yeah.
But then it had another name, too. Bird Town.
Oh, yeah, they called it Bird Town.
Why is that?
Because all the streets were named after birds.
Oh, where all the Slovaks live.
It was kind of interesting. Okay. Yeah.
See, I go back to that area now, and I just, what's the restaurant over there where they make a great Hungarian sausage? I don't know. I remember going there. Tony Paco's?
Well, that's Toledo.
That's Toledo.
And then, yeah, that's great food.
Okay, that's all right. Cleveland is different. Okay. Anyway, so Edward Polcha.
Yeah.
Is he a couple years older than you, same age?
Just about a year older.
About a year older.
Yeah.
He gets drafted.
Yeah.
And Army?
Yeah, he was in the Army.
Okay. No, he wasn't.
Pardon?
He wasn't in the Army.
He wasn't in the Army?
He was in the Navy.
He was in the Navy.
Was he in the Navy?
Yep.
Okay.
I forgot.
And you said he was
And he looks so cute in his uniform.
Oh, that's right, Navy guy. And where did he serve, Kathy?
Well, he was on the landing of Normandy.
Was he really?
On D-Day.
Yes. No kidding.
Yeah, he was on the landing.
Was he?
He said there were just loads of boats bringing soldiers in.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was a Navy seaman, and landed on the beaches at Normandy.
Yeah, he was on the landing on the beaches.
Do you remember, Kathy, what his responsibilities were?
They were clearing the beach.
Yeah. Afterwards, so he was part of the invasion force to clear the beach and make way for the for the Allied invasion of Europe.
Yeah.
Wow. And how long was he in? Until the end of the war?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where was he when the war ended?
He was on his way to invade Japan.
Oh, when Hiroshima and Nagasaki happened.
And then they dropped the bomb and
They turned the ships around.
Yep.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
They dropped him off on the West Coast and said, "Find your way home."
No, yeah, it sounds. I've heard that story.
all the way to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So Edward comes home from the West Coast.
I want to hear this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Edward comes home from the West Coast, Ruth.
Yeah.
And he comes to your house.
Yeah.
And your dad has said,
"Don't come over.
Don't come over anymore." Now, did he say "don't come over anymore" before Edward went to war?
Before he went to war.
Yeah, and now Edward comes back from the war.
Yeah.
Did your dad's tune change?
Yeah, he didn't. He was.
Well, tell them how you started writing, Dad.
Oh, do you have letters from the war?
No, they don't have them anymore. But who Aunt Emma was cleaning, was helping.
Yeah.
You tell the story.
Oh, yeah, so Eddie's sister-in-law, she was cleaning for my sister. And she told Girlie that she knew that Eddie had used to come to my house. And she told my sister that where he was, that he was over in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And then my mother told me, and she said, I mean, my sister told me, and she said, "Oh, you," she said, "and that he was lonely."
Yeah.
And my sister said, "Oh, you should write him."
And did you?
So I went to the pastor and asked for his address.
Wait, the pastor at St. Peter and St. Paul's?
I forget what his name was.
Oh,
he was
boy.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
So, St. Peter and Paul.
So, Ruth, your dad had told Edward not to come around anymore.
Yeah.
And then you went to Edward's pastor.
Yeah.
Did your dad know that you did this?
Yes, I told my dad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Was he okay with that?
Yeah, he was okay.
Okay. So you got permission from your dad.
Yeah.
And went and talked to Edward's pastor.
I did.
And got his address.
Yes, and I wrote to him.
Oh, my.
So you guys corresponded while he was...
When he was in,
while he was
in Europe.
No kidding.
And then he came home. And the rest is...
And so he shows up at your door.
Yeah.
You've been corresponding for 3+ years. And so how did that go? When he came back to your, when he showed up at your door, did he show up in his uniform?
Yeah, he was.
Smart boy.
What did you ask him?
What did I ask him?
Yeah.
Oh, I asked him if he was married.
Ah.
Because a lot of those guys got married to somebody and.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Oh no," he says, "I'm not married." So
he was waiting for you.
Oh, I think he had a couple girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how long was it after he returned before did you start dating right away? And
yeah, we kind of did.
Okay. Yeah. And what was he doing? What was he doing for work?
Well, he was vacationing for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he eventually got a job.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did get a job.
Near Mark.
Yes, he did get a job.
Okay.
I forget where he worked. Do you remember, Cassie?
Yep, I remember.
Do you?
He worked for Ernest Machine.
Oh, yes. He worked for my brother's company.
Okay.
So I saw him.
Yeah. And apparently your brother liked him well enough to hire him.
Yeah, he liked him.
Yeah. So how did that turn into you got married to Edward the Slovak?
Well, he started coming over, And my dad didn't tell him, don't come over anymore.
Okay.
So, you know, my father kind of asked him questions. He found out what it was like being in the Army and so forth. So it worked out pretty well.
Apparently.
So it ended good.
So when did Edward ask you to marry him?
Well, we were going together for a while, and I think I asked him if he was serious.
Oh, okay. So you kind of pushed.
Well, I wanted to know. I thought if I'm not going to waste my time on him if he's.
Right.
Yeah. That's mean to say. I should.
No, it's not.
girls out there, that's a very reasonable question. If you're a young lady and a guy is, you know, just enjoying being around you, but he's not showing any long term, you know, it is perfectly legit to ask, is this going anywhere?
So anyhow, it worked out well.
And so then he said, yeah, I'm serious. He said, okay. So my recollection, because it's, you know, two of your grandchildren teach on the faculty here.
Okay.
At St. Paul's. So your daughter Kathy Miller sitting to your left, you know, two of her children are on the faculty here. Sarah Bennis, our third grade teacher.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that.
And Ben Miller.
Ben, yes. You know,
and I we haven't interviewed Ben yet. We did do an interview with Sarah, and which is great. And so if you're a listener, go back. We had a great interview with Sarah last year, or year before. I seem to remember Ben, your grandson, speaking in reverent tones about your husband.
Yes, he did.
And so what was it about your husband that was special?
Well, he was very I can't say interested. He loved his church.
Yeah.
He loved going to church.
Yeah.
And that, so then,
what was your parish that you attended together?
He was still going to his Slovak church.
Okay, his Slovak church.
Yeah,
okay.
And I was going to my St. Paul's church.
And after you got married?
No.
After married, I switched to the Slovak church.
Oh, you went to the Slovak church.
Oh, and how were the Slovaks with you with bringing in the German girl?
Well, I knew some of those people.
Okay.
I had sung with them in choir sometimes.
Sure.
And,
okay.
And what did you do at the church? You sang what?
I sang some solos.
Oh. Yeah.
And what did those two little ladies say about you?
Oh. Yeah, we were walking into church one Wednesday church service, and these two old ladies, they were walking up the hill a little bit over from me, and I heard them saying, "Oh, there goes our soloist."
Yeah.
I had a kind of chuckle.
Yeah, because now you're not from some other parish visiting the Slovak church. Yeah. You're their soloist.
Yeah, they said, "Here goes our soloist."
Yeah, that's
it. Kind of made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
So we going back, kind of thinking, and number one was, in terms of the things that formed you as the person that you are, is your family Christian devotions around the table, led by your father and with your mother and your siblings.
Yeah.
Number two is going to church with your siblings while your parents are going across town to where your dad served as a teacher and organist.
That's true.
Number three, basically, we talked about your marriage to Edward Polcha, and you have and you had how many children?
We had five.
You had five children, so. What would number four be on your list of the things that formed you, besides family devotions, worship, and church and marriage?
I think definitely Bible reading.
Oh yeah,
hearing the Bible.
So how do you, you're talking about your own personal devotions now in your Bible reading. So how do you do that?
My personal devotion?
How do you do that, your personal devotions?
Well, I pick a chapter, and then I like to read it. I read the book.
Okay.
So that's, I read my Bible.
So you start with, let's
say. Well, probably found a passage I like, and I start reading it from the beginning.
You read the book from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you just kind of read through?
Yeah, I do.
And read through by a little bit.
Yeah.
What time of day do you do your devotions?
Yeah.
When do you do them during the day?
I do that in the evening.
You're in the evening devotion person.
You do evening devotions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that now? Did you and Edward do that with your kids?
We had devotions, didn't we?
We did, but not as regularly as
my dad did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Pastor Shachman, I interrupted.
Nope.
So in the evening. And do you do that to this day? Open up your Bible and read through some?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And you said you just read a chapter at a time.
Well, it just depends what I'm reading.
Yeah.
If it's real interesting, I keep going.
Okay.
And so you have a commitment to read. So do you base your prayers on that? Or do you write things down? Or how do you do this?
Sometimes I have prayers that I make up myself and read.
Okay.
And take to the Lord.
Yeah.
And sometimes I read printed word.
Okay.
Printed prayers.
Oh, so you have printed prayers. Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you find those printed prayers?
In the Bible.
Is it like portals of prayer or is it like a devotion book?
It's the Bible.
It's just the Bible.
I take the Bible.
There you go.
And base your prayers off that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Folks, it's that simple. All you got to do is open your Bible and read it.
And for those of you who are listening and in the area, and you want some instruction on how to open up your Bible and learn how to pray from it, you should make an appointment with Pastor Shachman or I. We would love to tell you because it's you can do this on a very deep level, you can do it on a simple level, but you know you don't realize I think what you've just done, but you've just given us a lesson on how to pray.
You know, Luther wrote a book, a letter to his barber. Now back in the day, the barber was more than just the guy that cut your hair.
Yeah,
right. He kind of was the guy that looked after your health. And we know Luther had some challenges, so he probably met with his Peter the barber fairly regularly. And Peter the barber was a learned guy, but maybe not a theologian or a studier of
scripture.
Of scripture. And so he asked Luther to teach him how to pray,
and
Luther. Marvelous theologian that
wrote a little pamphlet.
Wrote a little pamphlet called "A Simple Way to Pray," and that has shaped my prayer life.
Yep,
and it sounds like that's what you do, whether you're aware of it or not, Ruth.
Yeah.
And again, dear listener, if that's something you want to know about, come talk to us. We'll be glad to share it with you. So, Ruth, you talked about.
Okay.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We had a little connection with the microphone right there.
Yeah.
You talked about growing up having devotions as a family. You talked about going to church with your siblings.
Yeah.
You talked about your marriage that shaped you, and even to this day.
Yes, right.
The fourth thing is just reading the Bible and how being in God's Word has shaped you. Is there anything else you want to mention, that you want to talk about, that has formed you into who you are?
Oh, that's a difficult question because I think it's been my whole life.
Yeah. It's your whole life that shaped you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to
From little on, I
want to spend just a little time listening to you talk about what it meant to be a mom and to share the faith with your kids. How did you do that?
Well, it was probably by evening prayers all the time with the kids and prayers before meals. We'd pray.
Yeah.
And after meals.
Yeah.
So that's how we shaped our religion, really.
In your home. And then
our home.
And then the process or the the regular habit of going to church with your kids.
Yes, definitely.
So did Edward sit in the pew with you in the family, or was he busy doing other things for the church on a Sunday morning?
Oh, no. He went to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean like at church. Was he an usher? Was he an elder?
He was a Sunday school teacher.
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful. And yeah. So you as the family would go to church and sit together at church. Did Sunday school happen before or after church?
Did somebody what?
Sunday school. Was that before or after church?
That was before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And all the kids would go to their Sunday school class.
Yeah, the kids would go to Sunday school.
And then everybody would come to church.
Yeah.
And be fed by word and sacrament.
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what did the rest of Sunday look like after the family left church?
Well, we'd go home and eat supper, eat lunch. They were probably hungry. Or we'd go out sometimes.
Okay.
Too.
With other families? Like, well, was that with other families from church?
It might be with some other members of the family, yeah.
Yeah.
It was such a large group that it was impossible. We'd get together down the valley sometimes or at the mission grounds that the church owned because my grandparents had 59 grandchildren.
Holy moly.
So it was
a fun gathering
it was,
that must
It was
be.
A big, yeah.
And my brother-in-law, he was like a caretaker of the mission grounds.
Okay.
So he'd open up the barns and get a few chairs out or something, and then we'd have a picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice. We had a little contact.
All those cousins running around. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So a number of your siblings stayed locally in the Western Cleveland area.
In Lakewood.
Well, there were a few of them that was. I had a brother, my oldest brother became a pastor.
Okay.
And he was first sent out to Kansas.
Okay.
And it was a farmerish place.
Okay, yeah, very rural.
It was Winfield, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah.
The home of St. John's Winfield, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah, former university, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Then Kathy went out to St. John's Winfield. Who else did?
Oh, a lot of cousins.
Yeah, they all went out to Winfield. And my brother was pastor out there at
for a long time.
Time?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty long. Yeah, he was out there pretty long.
And then did he take a call somewhere else?
Oh, yes, he did. He took a call to Indiana. I think it was Indiana. Yeah.
That's closer to home.
Yeah, it was closer to home. Yeah. Because Kansas at that time was pretty far.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. Yeah. Probably. It's a hay town. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
nobody
nice.
From Winfield is listening.
So there that's a city girl talking right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is.
Yeah,
it sure
not,
is.
Nothing,
oh,
wrong with,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Ruth, we're so glad that you came in to spend some time with us.
Well, I thank you. It was interesting talking to you.
Yeah. And we got to learn all kinds of wonderful things about you, Ruth, Florence, Esther.
Well, yeah.
Zender, Polcha.
Yeah.
And the heritage that you received from your parents as you heard the word of God.
Yeah.
And that same faithful heritage that you kept going in your own life and in your family.
That's very true.
And I just want to point out, folks, the fruit of that hearing of the word that has for generations now.
Amen.
Born fruit, not only from your parents, but through you and in your children and in your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Some of those great grandchildren now,
yeah,
who are still regular attenders here at St. Paul's.
Oh, bless the Lord.
And here, all praise goes to the Lord for this,
amen.
Right? But dear, you're the one that started it for your kids.
Yeah, me and my husband.
And your husband kept, you know, yes, he was part of that too.
Yes, he was.
And it's been handed down and handed down and handed down.
Thank the Lord.
Absolutely. Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
And Pastor O'Donnell, you've been doing some regular meetings with a couple of these great grandkids now who are talking about getting married.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. We got some of your great grandkids that are about to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a wedding soon.
In this next year.
And we rejoice to see how God's word bears fruit.
Amen to that.
And what an encouragement to
listeners. Do we have 30 seconds there for a little extra? So for our listeners, Ruth, and you know, you come from a long line of people.
Yeah.
Who are faithful, and you know, and we didn't really talk about this, but you know, your ancestors, your Zenders, come from one of the great missionary colonies in North America back in the 1800s. So your family Christian heritage goes way back. If you're listening and perhaps you're new to the faith, I would encourage you to borrow from Ruth's family's example here and start your own tradition, because it started somewhere with your family, Ruth, however far back that was. And for if you're listening and you're relatively new to the faith and perhaps this seems daunting, I wouldn't let yourself worry with that. You come to church, you start to learn how to do family devotions, you gather your family at the table and share the word of Christ and teach them how to pray, and the Lord will do amazing things. And who knows, 2-3 generations down, you know, somebody else won't be interviewed on a radio broadcast and talking about, you know,
you
talking about you and what started. With you.
Could be, yeah.
It could be. So thanks again for joining us in Christ in All Things.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So, if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw.
For the useful, but perhaps pretentious, beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.